ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. No sound. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So this microphone looks like a bona fide microphone, but it's not performing its dharma. It's a rebellious microphone. So, could you all move a little closer if you want to hear? Vishnu Sahasranam, name 264, according to this counting system. Although, there can be other counting systems also, because some of the names, they can be read as one name or two names. Just like there's one name, Gurur Guru Tama. So that can be read as, he is the topmost guru of all gurus, or it can be read as guru, one name, and guru tama, or he is a, which more or less means the same as guru rutama. So like this, but in this counting system, name 264 is vivikta. Does anyone know what the name vivikta means?
Vivikta.
Vivikta, yeah. Vivikta. Sounds like a European name, Victor. Yeah. Do you have that? You must have that in Sweden, huh? Victor. Victik you have in Sweden. Yeah. In England and in Russia, it's a common name, Victor. Isn't it? Victor? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. In Sweden. Yeah. But there's a completely different meaning. Victor means... who? Yeah. That's Vivek. This is Vivikta. It comes in Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. That word. Vivikta desha sevitva maratya jana sangsiddhi. Krishna describes the person Vivikta desha. He means he lives in a separate place. So he lives alone, solitary. That's one of the qualities of knowledge. So vivikta means alone, solitary, separate. One of the meanings is given as discriminative, yes. Although generally the term used is viveka for that. Profound, yeah, that's also there. So the main meaning, the first meaning is alone, solitary, separate. And the acharyas, they describe this to mean unique. He's separate from all other. In one sense, he's not separate because nothing can be separate from him. There's nothing that can exist separate from him. And our perception of being separate from him, that is called Maya, illusion, because nothing is or can be separate from him. Yet at the same time, he's in a completely different category to everyone and everything else. Mataparataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. Krishna says, there is no one or no thing, there is nothing that is equal to me or superior to me. Mataparataram nanyat, nothing is superior to me, which is what he says. Even though he is in one sense known different from everything, at the same time he's also aloof, separate, different. Different in the sense that he is superior to all others. That's why sometimes it's said that it's understood that to be superior to all others, to be in the highest position, people aspire to be in the highest position. But it's a lonely position because you don't have any friends, you don't have any equals. So we see that Krishna, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unique, he makes himself subordinate to his devotees. Therefore his Vrajalila, for friendship and love and companionship. Not that there's not love in Vaikuntha, but that is shithil. Shithil, that word is used in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's slackened by a sense of awe, but then it keeps one very somewhat separate. Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, after seeing the universal form, he apologized to Krishna that I used to address you. Sakaiti matva prasabang. What is it? Hiyadava. What is it? I'm not forgetting now. I used to address you in friendly words, joking. But Srila Prabhupada noted that Arjuna, by apologizing for that, he is actually coming down in his relationship with Krishna. Is you looking up the verse? You looking up the verse? Sakheti matva. If you just look up Sakheti, you'll get it. S-A-K-H-E-T-I. Because although, by realizing Krishna's uniqueness, he became more distant from Krishna. Now the Mayavadis, this whole Vishnu Sahasranam is a, can be understood as a pitch against Advaitavad, the idea that everything is all one, because there's this idea that Atma equals Brahma. The individual soul is spiritual. Well, that's true, that's not untrue. But to think that because of that, each living being is God, that's a misunderstanding. Each living being is a sample of God. But still he is unique. There's another the word in Sanskrit for unique, ananya. Anya means other. Ananya means not other. There's no other like that. So Krishna is unique. There's no one with the same qualities that Krishna actually, yeah, because each living being is a sample of Krishna, they do have the qualities, but Krishna has the qualities in a quantity which is inconceivable to the tiny soul. So every person, every jiva has some opulence, aishvaryasya, virya, they have some prowess. They have some name and fame, at least someone knows them, at least in the human form. Unless they're vivikta desha sevitvam, unless they go away from everyone, but still someone will know them. They all have some beauty. Even in the, if you see a very old person, they may look not very beautiful, but in their youth at least they had some beauty. Srila Prabhupada quoted, Yovane kukuri sundari. In youth, even a female dog is beautiful. The idea that in youth there is some beauty. Even some are more beautiful than others. So all living beings have some of these qualities, but Krishna is unique in having all of these qualities in full. So Krishna is one of a kind. There are unlimited jivas, but there's only one Vishnu. There's only one Supreme Personality of God. Did you get that?
Was it the first line,
Sakheti? Sakheti. S-A-K-H-E-T-I. Sakheti matva prasabang he yadava. Hey Krishna, hey yadava, hey. Anyway, we've gone past that now. So he is distinguished from all others. And two, he gives the power of discrimination. And if the whole point, we can say, of this Vishnu Sahasranama, the whole point of all the Shastras, is to understand that he is different. That everyone is different. I am different from you. You are different from me. But Krishna is different in a different way from us. We're all different from each other, but Krishna is different to us in a different way than we are different to everyone else. So many of his qualities we'll find, they appear to be contradictory. Just like the very name Vishnu Sahasranam, Vishnu, that name was just given here in Vishnu Sahasranam for the second time. So Vishnu means all-pervading, but at the same time he's different from everything. Mayatatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murti namatsthani sarvabhutani nachahang teshvavastitaha. Even Krishna says, this whole universe is pervaded by me, still everything is separate from me. So how is that possible? This is not possible to understand by mundane logic, although it appears that in recent times, those who are studying quantum physics, they're coming a little close to this understanding, but they won't. That something can be one thing and something else at the same time. It can be the same as something and something else at the same time. But they'll never get a clear idea unless they hear from the Vaishnava Acharyas. Mostly they gravitate, or the physicists who gravitate, many of them, they gravitate toward what they call Eastern spirituality, but they almost inevitably end up with some impersonal idea. They have to go beyond that. They have to hear from the Vaishnava Acharyas about how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is that person who is different from everyone, who gives personality to everyone else. We are all persons because we are different from and reflections of Krishna. So this name, Vivikta, separate, different, it's a very important name, because this idea that everything is all one, it's all pervasive. No, it's pervasive. So that's not incorrect. But unless we see the difference, then our spiritual understanding is incomplete. So Krishna is different. Everything is different from everything else. But Krishna is different from everything in a different way to everyone else, because he is different. Not just that he's another person, but he is different in as much as he has all qualities in full, and he is the source of all qualities of all others. He is a different kind of person. Different kind of person. All others are dependent upon him, and he is independent. So he is a person also, but a completely different kind of person. Separate, solitary, in that sense. The famous statement of the Vedas, dva suparna sayuja sakaya, that there are two birds in the tree. One is eating the fruits and enjoying or suffering, and the other is simply observing. So the other who is simply observing means that is the super soul, Paramatma, who is overseeing the living beings within this world. So he's separate. He's there, but he's separate. He's not engaging in the same activities as the conditioned soul. He's unique. How many ways is he unique in? In every way. Another way that he's unique, apart from his qualities being so much greater than and of a different quality to those of the jivas. We have some strength, just like I can pick up some weight. But Krishna's strength is not only that he can create, maintain, and destroy millions of universes. His strength is so much greater than ours, it's in a different category. But our strength in the material condition pertains just to material things. So Krishna, his strength is spiritual. His beauty is spiritual. We may have some beauty, but it's an illusory beauty, the beauty of the body. But Krishna's bodily beauty, that is not illusory, that is eternal and real, and the material beauty is just a very poor, perverted reflection of the beauty of Krishna. So, now another way that he's unique, namam karmani limpanti. He is untouched by the effects of action. He performs activities, but he does not reap karmic results from doing so. Whatever anyone does in this material world, then for every action there is a reaction. But for Krishna, no such thing. So he's unique in that way also. His activities are extraordinary. He comes to this world and he performs activities and he does all kinds of things, just like Girivaradhari. He's lifting up with his right hand in this picture. Unless it's the photo is put around the wrong way. It's funny, this from Nathdwara, you'd think they'd know better. But anyway, maybe sometimes he does pick it up with his right hand. So, it's not everyone that can pick up a mountain. In fact, it's only Krishna who does that. Well, actually, Giriraj was put there. Who is that one Muni brought him? There's the story of how Giriraj came. One Muni, I can't remember his name, he carried him. But Giriraj said, if you put me down, then I'll stop going with you. And then he made him pass, when he was going over Vrindavan area, he made him want to pass water. So then he stayed there. I can't remember exactly, it's in Garga Sanhita. So Krishna's activities are extraordinary. Single-handedly, he defeated all the forces of Jarasandha. Then later on, Jayadratha thought that the sun had set and that Arjuna would have to enter into fire, but Krishna fooled them all and made the sun stay up or brought it back up again. Now, if we think about that, you all know that story how Jayadratha was running away, keeping a distance from Arjuna, because Arjuna had vowed, tomorrow I'll either kill Jayadratha or I'll enter into fire and kill myself. So the end of the day came, and Jayadratha thought, okay, now I'm safe, and Arjuna has to die by his own vow. But then Krishna made the sun came back up again. Now you may think, well, how is that possible? That would disturb the whole universal function. Because all the planets are dependent on the sun, at least within this solar system, if we accept Western astronomy. But anyway, Krishna can do it. He's unique. We don't know how, but he can do. You can't do, I can't do, Stephen Hawking can't do, President Obama, he can't do, but Krishna, he can do. He's unique. He can do anything he likes. He's also unique in as much as he is avang manasa gochara. He's, even though he is the goal of all religion, all meditation, all austerities, Narayana Paroveda, what is that? Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramagada. He's the goal of everything, but still he cannot be understood. So he's unique in that sense. When he reveals himself, then he can be understood. So another way, he's both inside and outside of everything. So in so many ways, if we're to consider how Krishna is unique, he's unique in every respect. And in any way that we could think of, Krishna is always different. And it is his kindness that he makes himself available to the devotees. That is his great kindness. He's not a distant God, but he makes himself available. Then the next name, 265, Shruti Sagara. Shruti means that which is heard. It means the Vedic literature. And Sagara means the ocean. So it can mean that the Vedic literatures are just like a great ocean, and Krishna, he is the goal of that, or he is the he is non-different from that. Or it means that the Shruti, the Vedas, all the different pronouncements of the Vedas, they are like rivers which flow into the ocean, who is Krishna. Krishna is a great ocean. And all the Vedas, they go toward Krishna. Vedaischa sarvairahameva vedyaha. Sarva Veda Yatpadamamananti. All the Vedas, they go toward one point. So that point is Krishna. Krishna is like an unlimited ocean. And the Vedas, they are like rivers. Rivers, they go to the ocean. They add their water to the ocean. But each of the Vedas, it's just like the ocean is made up of so many different, the waters of so many different rivers. At the same time, the ocean is not dependent on the rivers. So in the same way, all the Vedas, they describe in different ways and different angles and different respects. They're all different rivers, but they all come to the same point, Krishna. And all of them, each, if we compare a river to the ocean, the river is very small compared to the ocean. So the river that can give a little water, but the ocean gives, the ocean is unlimited water. So the Vedas, all the Vedas, each, they're the four Vedas, the Brahmanas, the Aranyakas, the Upanishads, and they all speak in different ways and they all give some idea. But they can't fully describe Krishna, who's like a great ocean, compared to the rivers. So the Vedas, yeah. They have a specific point, just like the rivers. If we see a river flowing in the land, we can see it's going somewhere. But if we just live on the land, we don't know where it's going in particular. Of course, nowadays everything is all mapped out and you can find out. Just like there's a little stream, at least one stream running through this property. And if you follow that, you'll find it comes to a bigger river and eventually it reaches the ocean. So all knowledge, we just examine one area of knowledge, just like we see some sociology or biology or mechanical engineering or some subject. But if we pursue any subject to its full conclusion, then we have to come to Krishna. But how can we get there? Well, to go on the river, we need a good boat. We need to have the boat guided by the captain of the ship, who knows how to navigate the ship in the river and how to take us to our destination. So there's so much knowledge available in the world, but we need the guide who can guide us so that knowledge can take us to the ultimate destination of that knowledge. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's described, Guru Karna Dharam. The Guru is like the captain of the ship who is guides it and brings us to our proper destination, who is Krishna. Okay, that's all I had prepared. There are another, well, if there are actually 1,000 names, then we have another 735 to go.
You mentioned in the Vedika that the acharyas described it as unique, I think you said.
Yeah.
What acharyas?
Well, the acharyas who have commented on Vishnu Sahasranama, the ones who I'm aware of here are Shankaracharya has done, Balad in Gaurya Sampradaya, Baladev Vidyabhushan. In Madhva Sampradaya, there must be, but there's no.
Baladev Vidyabhushan,
you said Shri Sampradaya?
No, our Sampradaya.
Our Sampradaya. Yeah, yeah. Our Sampradaya means Gaurya Sampradaya.
Gaurya
Sampradaya. Yeah, yeah. Then there's Parashara Bhatta in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And there are some others also, I don't know which sampradaya, they're in Radha Krishna Shastri, Satyadev Vasishta, Chinmayananda, although he's a modern Mayavadi, but he's also commented. And he's made some nice comments, actually. So Krishna gave him some mercy there. Mayavadis, if they make some good comment. I read in one of Srila Prabhupada's conversations, he even praised something that Vivekananda had said. He didn't generally praise anything that he said. He said about Vivekananda, if I had been in power, I would have hanged him. That's also in the conversations. But there was some comment. It was something about Western civilization. I can't remember just now. But he said something like that. Yeah, we can quote so many things from Shankara. Basically, we're against his philosophy, but Narayana Paro Vyaktat, Srila Prabhupada always commented, and then there are many. Shabda Jala Maharanyam Kevala Chitta. What is it? Kevala Chitta Brahmanam. I can't remember exactly. Which one? Just now?
Yeah.
No. I don't know where it's from.
But it's Shankara.
Shankara, yeah. It means that words are like a great forest which simply bewilder the mind. So, that also in Gita, Krishna warns us not to be. When one's intelligence has come out of the. Yeah, yadate moha kalilam. Yeah. There's some very nice things actually Shankara said about great saints. I have a Kali Yuga memory, I can't remember. But basically his philosophy we don't accept. But there are some good things there also. Yeah.
So, you can see into the future the development of the Sankhya economy and the culture that we established. Will it be some kind of mixture?
In the future, will the culture, as the Sankirtan movement spreads, will it be a mixture of Western and Eastern? I would hope that it's transcendental. But the culture that we see in India is the closest to the transcendental. Krishna appeared. We understand that he appeared in the situation that he appeared, that Gokul is a facsimile of Golok. So how Krishna behaves, how he dances, the music, the dress, the food, it's all Krishna's eternal leela manifest on this plane. Similarly, there's this idea, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just dressed the same way as everyone else around him. You heard that one? So we should just dress the way as everyone else. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his dham. He always dresses like that, the way that he dressed. So, modern Indian culture is mixed up with all kinds of funny ideas and funny practice. We can't say it's pure Vedic culture, but it's There's definitely more to be learned culturally from India than from the West. And generally the outlook in India is more conducive for Krishna consciousness than it is in Sweden. People in India take to Krishna consciousness, they're more open to it than in Sweden. So that culturally it's better. This, just like a punctuality, that may not be so important in a culture where you're not rushing around, you have to be on work on time. We don't read that Radha and Krishna have a stopwatch to time all their activities. When the sun comes up, just like Udilo Arana Purabha Bhage Dvijamani Gaura Amani Jage, when the sun comes up, people start to move around. Maybe not very practical in Sweden, where the sun's movement is quite irregular. In one season, it's quite different to another season.
We adjust by summer and winter, daylight saving time. We're very intelligent.
Yeah, adjust like that, but it doesn't help much when there's so much difference. Basically, this land is not very suitable for pious life. You can be, but it's not intrinsically very suitable. You can use all modern technology, yeah, but Srila Prabhupada, he gave the example of you to cut a tree. You get an axe, and the handle of the axe is made out of wood from a tree. So you use wood to cut wood. But our aim is not that we want to perpetuate this machine civilization, which actually destroys good qualities of human beings. But we can use its facilities while it's there to preach Krishna consciousness, but it's not our aim to perpetuate this. Srila Prabhupada wanted to set up communities with simple living. Because this machine civilization, it makes you work unnecessarily, unnecessarily complex.
When Prabhupada was here 40 years ago, this month,
Srila Prabhupada is really pushing this, Now we're seeing it, that one or two generations ago, mostly people, they believed that the governments were acting in the interest of the people. But now there's widespread discontent with the governments, so the governments are acting against the interest of the people. That's spreading more and more. It's a good time for preaching Krishna consciousness. Never been better.
When the telegram Shila, can you worship? Usually it is you worship the telegram Shila like Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, but can you also worship the telegram Shila in another mood?
Can you worship telegram Shila as Krishna? I'm not an expert on this, but we see in all traditional Krishna temples in India, they do so. And the probably the world's greatest authority on Shilas is this, what's his name, is it Padmalochan? Yeah, Padmalochan Goswami at the Radharaman temple in Vrindavan. His father was great authority, and he's also.
Not to change the topic, is that all right? Yeah. You mentioned Dawkins. Now, Dawkins would have said that, okay, you're mixing up mythology and history here with, you know, the sage lifting the mountain and Krishna.
I wouldn't say such things to Dawkins, although he might read it in the book himself. This Dawkins, I wouldn't even discuss with him about God. First of all, you should accept that our first proposition is that there is a platform of the spiritual as distinct from the material. First, if we're going to talk about God, we're talking about a spiritual being. So first of all, let us understand what is the difference between spirit and matter, or accept that. That's how I would start with him. It's futile to speak of God if we have to understand what is the spirit. So first of all, you should accept that spirit is different from matter. That is our proposition. That I would discuss with him. Consciousness is not produced of matter.
Another question. I'm just hopping around here. Different things. You said that Krishna's Vita God is unique. But then his uniqueness is not complete unless he is also ordinary.
His uniqueness is not complete unless he's also ordinary. Yeah, Krishna has different facets to his unique personality. But that I also said that he lives in Vraja to be ordinary also. But even there he's extraordinary. Even though he takes an ordinary role, still he's unique in as much as he is the cynosure of all eyes, as Srila Prabhupada put it. So he can't escape his uniqueness.
Could you say that when he manifests as his fragmental parts and parcels, then he becomes
When he manifests as his parts and parcels, then he becomes ordinary. You have to be a little careful with such a statement. That's bordering on Mayavad to say that God becomes the jivas. We should. The jivas are in one sense non-different from Krishna, but we should understand very clearly the difference. It's not that I'm feeling pain and pleasure in this world, and I'm God having a leela. No, that's not correct.
You mentioned that it's lonely at the top, you know, being unique.
Yeah.
For an ordinary person, but for Krishna it's not.
For Krishna it's not lonely. No, Krishna's never lonely. But we do find those statements in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the intimacy of the devotees who are so intimate that they scold him, they please him much more by doing so than the pleasure he gets from hearing the Vedic hymns. So intimacy is, non-uniqueness where someone thinks that Krishna, we are equals, so I can behave in a familiar way with Krishna. That's more intimate, more loving.
That requires that one forgets that Krishna, you forget Krishna's majesty, right?
Yeah, those who are intimate with Krishna, they don't think of him as being majestic.
That's a special kind of mind.
Yeah.
And the ocean should be sagara. What number was this?
Shruti Sagar is 265.
Who compiled the thousand names?
Vishnu Sahasranam is spoken by Bhishma Dev in Mahabharata. There are other Vishnu Sahasranams, but that's the most well known and famous.
What's the context in the Mahabharata?
Context is that Yudhishthira asks Bhishma, while Bhishma Pitamaha is lying on his bed of arrows, that what is the best, most auspicious activity? And he says, chanting the names of Vishnu. And then he recites the Vishnu Sahasranama. In front of Vishnu, Krishna's there, personally present while he's doing that. Okay, so next time I have to speak on Subhuja, one who has good arms, nice arms.
What time is your thing tomorrow evening?
Tomorrow evening, sometime 6 something.
So it's not impossible that you will be here tomorrow?
Well, I should be here half a day. These two things, 264, 265.
When you mentioned how Prabhupada was appreciating Vivekananda.
Prabhupada appreciating Vivekananda, he found something he said was good, that's all. But overall, I wouldn't call it appreciation of Vivekananda.
No, I mean to say, when your book came out about then I was so enthusiastic, I would even said this is certainly definitive, this will prove to be the definitive biography of Bhaktisiddhanta. But I wonder if you think that there's room for other biographies.
Room for other biographies? There can be many biographies of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He's a great personality, there should be, just like Mahatma Gandhi's had several biographies about him, and he's nothing compared to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So there should be many biographical works. Srila Prabhupada, there have been so many biographical works.
Even from the academic point of view?
Academic point of view is useless point of view. So forget that. It should be devotional. I mean, academic, if it's within devotion, that's all right. But if it's just academic, then it's, what's the use? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was so much against this so-called academic without being guided by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra.
But academic and devotion, you said.
If we're going to study Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it has to be scholarly, because you can't, what will you understand otherwise? He himself is so scholarly. But it should be guided by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Otherwise, anything, it's useless without that. Useless at best. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Panchatattva ki jai, Sri Vishnu Sahasranama ki jai. Hare Krishna.